Guest in hour number one, Bill Seals, normally joins us on Wednesday, but the media, Iowa State media, was busy yesterday covering football pressers. So we'll get Bill Seals in here today to recap what he heard yesterday when a couple of the coaches met the assembled media. So that's coming up at 11:30. Basketball news, if there is any as well, with Bill Seals at 11:30. By the way, since we're talking Iowa State, good morning, first of all.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. You know what? I got to give credit where credit is due. And, you know, Jamie Pollard and I have had our beefs over the years, but every now and then, you know, you put the rivalry aside, not mine and his, Iowa and Iowa State's. And Iowa State is going to retire number 22 in honor of Caitlin Clark. So recognizing what apparently she did for women's sports overall. And no one at Iowa State will wear number 22, as BBC reported this morning that Iowa State will retire Caitlin Clark's number 22. Well done, Iowa State.
I missed this. How did I miss this?
It came up this morning.
Really?
Yeah, I don't follow BBC on Twitter, but I saw... and you know what? I meant to click the link, but then the OJ stuff broke.
So I didn't
read the story. Just saw the headline. But well done, Jamie Pollard, doing, you know, for the state of Iowa, quite frankly, and for what she meant to the women's game. No one at Iowa State will wear 22. Ironically, Iowa did the same thing last night.
No,
they also retired.
Yep, they did. Really good ceremony. Saw Caitlin there for 45 minutes afterwards, still signing all the autographs.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
After everything wrapped up, and of course the kids hoarding around her, and I'm sure a few collectors too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, trying to get that as we know all too well.
That's something maybe killing some time on Twitter at night. Log on to eBay, just see how much Caitlin Clark stuff is
on
eBay.
Call.
Right? Because I'm guessing there's a whole lot of collectors.
You know, that's funny. I should stop over and see our buddy Anders over at the Rookie.
Yeah.
And see if that's been something in the collecting game.
Right.
That is starting to pick up steam here. I'm going to anticipate.
Absolutely.
People looking for that rookie card. Do they make WNBA cards? Well, they make Caitlin Clark ones.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
that. If
they
don't, Trent, they're stopping the presses, whatever one they were putting out, and, and go to that. So, Bill Seals, hour number two is going to be a lot of NFL.
Now, hold on. This is real? This is from the BBC?
BBC. It's their Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure they didn't make a mistake? Because I don't normally go to the BBC for my
Trent,
Iowa State
if
news.
I had to guess, I'm guessing there's probably a mistake in the, in the tweet.
Maybe something got lost in translation
maybe
across the pond.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so.
Now, we've seen Iowa State for a while. They had a Iowa native wear number 40 for Chris Streak.
That's true.
And yes. Fred Hoiberg did that.
Yes.
So maybe there's something to it.
Well,
was there a quote from Pollard in there?
I meant to click on the story in the OJ news.
We might need to do a little more investigative work because it doesn't exactly pass the smell.
Stop passing the smell test?
No.
Yeah, probably so. Probably an error.
All right.
You know what? You're right. Anyways.
I saw where you were going there.
So Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, will join us at 12:15. Look forward to catching up with PA. And then we did the Bears yesterday. We'll do the other two regional teams, Vikings with PA, and then the Packers with our friend Dave Sinekin. I never mentioned this yesterday, but it's going to be the Packers that play the Eagles over in Brazil on that Friday night. So we'll talk to Sinekin about that and the Packers, and then get Nick Athan in here, the offseason so far for the Chiefs, and what they're looking to do with pick number 32 in the draft, with Rice seemingly in a little bit of trouble. Does that make and maybe Kansas City was looking at receivers to begin with, but we'll check in 2 weeks from today is the first round of the NFL draft as we approach that. The news of the morning, though, Trent, and it's huge news. Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman's killer, O.J. Simpson, passed away this morning. Apparently, he's been fighting cancer for the last couple of years. O.J. Simpson, who was acquitted. And the glove didn't fit, and I guess you must acquit. And that's what exactly what happened, is the jury found him not guilty in the criminal trial. The civil trial was different, as he was found guilty and was ordered to pay millions of dollars to the father of the Goldman family. I mean, just you think back, that's 30 years. That would have been 30 years ago this year. 94, right?
Yeah, 1994, and the trial happened in 1995.
Yeah.
I remember vividly sitting in my high school history class.
Yeah.
And our teacher flipped on the radio, and we listened to, on the radio, the, as it was handed down, and just the shock.
The actual acquittal, that's what you guys listened to? Yeah.
At 15 years old, and just how...
Mm-hmm.
Well, from small town Iowa, I did it.
Yeah, of course he did.
Right. And just tried to wrap your mind around it, and we had a lot of good conversations about it. But yeah, at that time, and just how glued to the TV you were. I mean, I'm a 15-year-old kid. Why would I care about that? But,
yeah.
But everybody.
And you don't remember O.J. Simpson's career?
No, not at all. I remember him.
He was finished in 79, so yeah. Of course you don't remember him.
Naked Gun, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember him from that. I remember from the Hertz commercials and running through the airport. Mm-hmm, and that's how I remember O.J. Simpson, is this very...
Well, he was larger than life.
Yes.
Larger than life.
Happy guy.
Uh-huh.
Comedy chops.
Great on the NFL broadcast.
Yes.
Great pitch man for Pratt, as you mentioned, Avis running through airports. And then on a Sunday night, I want to say it was a Sunday night, that he snapped and killed his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and then Ron Goldman, who just happened to, I don't know if they were dating or whatever.
I believe so, yeah.
He brought her glasses back from the restaurant, apparently, that she'd forgotten there. And was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and both of them were killed. The trial was unreal. I was able to watch the entire trial because at the time I was working at Prairie Meadows, and even though there was no racing when it started, I was required to be there for 8 hours a day.
Oh, okay.
So I sat in my office, did nothing but watch TV and watch the entire trial. And some of the people, like Johnny Cochran and Robert Shapiro and Alan Dershowitz and F.J. Bailey and Johnny Cochran and Marsha. What's Marsha, the attorney's last name? Marsha.
I can picture the hair.
I can picture the
hair. The permed up hair away, right?
Marsha. What the hell's Marsha? Anyways, Marsha, the attorney.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the tall guy. Also part of the prosecution. What the hell's Marsha's last name?
It's going to bother you, right?
It's going to bother me.
Yes.
Marsha.
I'm looking through here. There's just so much as you go through the Wikipedia page.
Cato Kaelin.
Oh, absolutely. He was a big part of it, right?
And I'm guessing he'll be a big part of it for the next couple of days because...
Marsha Clark. William Hodgman.
Yes. Yes, that's the other guy.
Was replaced as lead prosecutor by Christopher Darden.
Chris Darden. That's the guy I'm thinking of, right?
Judge Ito.
Incredibly famous.
Yes, absolutely.
Greta Van Susteren.
Oh, yes.
Here's one. I had never heard of the name Kardashian.
Right?
Kardashian.
Uh-huh.
Prior to this trial, there's a whole bunch of people that are A-listing. We appreciate that.
Yes.
They remembered Marsha Clark's last name. But I'd never heard of the Kardashians. And now you can't turn on the TV or open up nobody opens up magazines anymore.
No.
But you know what I mean. The Kardashians are everywhere. But it was, what was his name? Robert Kardashian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was Kim's father, I guess. Anyways. But, just the whole Al Cowlings, the White Bronco, the chase on a Friday night, interrupting NBA coverage.
Oh, absolutely.
To show the chase, and it was a slow speed chase down one of the freeways in Los Angeles.
I remember that one vividly. We were at the tavern in New Haven with my grandparents, just having dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was going to say, you're not old enough to drink at that point.
No. Everybody was allowed in the tavern.
Yeah, okay.
And just having dinner with them, and all of a sudden, the NBA coverage is up there, and probably going to get home and watch the rest of the game. And then you see, what is this?
Yeah.
And there's Bob Costas
cutting
in. And then they had, like, the picture-in-picture. How wild is that? You have
It was Houston and who? Wasn't Houston in the championship?
The Knicks, I want to say.
I don't know. I thought it was, I can't remember. I think it was Houston, but I could be wrong.
94 NBA, yeah, it was Knicks Rockets.
Okay.
Yep. Knicks Rockets, but what's that going to be remembered for? Not a seven-game series.
No.
People don't remember that.
Nope.
What you remember is that Friday
Al
night.
Al Cowlings telling the police that OJ's in the back of his vehicle
and
has a gun pointed at his head.
And they go, well, who are you? You know who I am.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
And then they let him park in his driveway. Do you remember that?
Yes, absolutely. All the helicopters surrounding.
Oh, my God. What a zoo. Cato Kaelin.
A different world.
Uh-huh.
An absolutely, completely different world. That we lived in. The trial lasted 10 months.
Remember Mark Furman?
Yes.
Who did himself no favors.
Who was, what, the racist?
The racist cop.
Yep. Yeah.
The two other cops that were first part of the trial, don't remember their names, but they were old hard boot cops, old hard boot detectives. But yeah, Mark Furman did the prosecution no favors in that trial. I think I got all the attorneys right. Mm-hmm. I forgot about Cato. I mean, what's his name, the judge?
Judge Ito.
Ito.
Lance Ito.
Lance Ito. Is he still alive, Lance Ito, I wonder?
That's a good question.
I know most of the attorneys are gone.
Yeah. Well, we're talking 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
And they were probably later in their career, done a whole lot there. Absolutely incredible. Judge Ito. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. Judge Lance Ito, in office until 2015. He is still with us, 73 years old.
Lance Ito's 73. So, anyways, OJ gone. You remember him for that.
Yes.
You do. Mm-hmm. You remember him for what he did. And then, obviously, he gets off there. He's tried civilly. He's got to come up with all that money. Gets to Las Vegas. Actually tries to rob memorabilia. What hotel was he at in Vegas? Was it the Mandalay?
That sounds familiar.
I don't recall 100%. But served jail time in a prison in the state of Nevada. And promised to search every golf course or every who's going to live the rest of his days searching for the true killers of Nicole and Ron.
He was a group of men led by Simpson entered a room at the Palace Station Hotel.
Wow, so away from the Strip.
Yeah. And Doug Fromong, a sports memorabilia dealer, testified that the group broke into his hotel room and stole memorabilia at gunpoint.
Jeez. Served time.
He did. 9 years.
Yes, he served a long time.
Yeah.
Served a long time.
He was sentenced to 33.
Mm.
Boy, people get out of jail easy, don't they?
Well, you know one that does. You're supposed to serve 85% of a federal crime, but somehow it didn't. The rules don't apply to him.
It's funny how that
it
happens,
really does.
Huh?
And then you get a press pass wherever you want to go for something that doesn't exist, but nobody checks in.
The robbery was planned at the Palms Casino Resort. Maybe that's where your memory was going, but that's where they found this guy in the station.
Unbelievable. Anyways, 30 years ago, and you don't remember the remarkable career that he had on the football field as a Heisman winner at USC, the cracking 2,000 yards. I remember that was such a huge deal, such a big deal when he went over 2,000 yards. And you recall it was a 14-game schedule back then.
Right.
That was early 70s that happened. I think I was still in high. I was still in high school at the time. But oh boy! And then finished where? San Francisco, right?
Yeah, 49ers,
San Francisco. Yeah. Let's get Mark in here. Mark, welcome to the program. What do you remember, Mark?
Hey guys. Hey, this OJ news. Boy, this really cuts deep.
No, well done. See you, Mark.
Bye. Yeah. But
I guess. I mean, we're talking about two people who got their heads cut off, but okay. What I recall as well, and this was maybe my first dose of reality, because I don't see this, the world is black and white.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to be for the first time when the acquittal was read that there was a clear division of how you saw the trial come to a head, right?
You were coming on the heels of the LA riots 2 years previous.
Yep.
There was so much conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember back to Minneapolis a few years back and Ferguson and things like that. The police department in Los Angeles and minorities and especially African Americans, it was a difficult time.
Yeah, what?
Right around because I grew up around all white people.
Right.
And the county that I grew up in, Mitchell County.
Yeah.
Was the highest population of Caucasians in the country.
Really?
For a county. We didn't have minorities. And I loved that culture. I loved rap music at the time.
Yeah.
But I had no actually idea of what it was. And to see that through the prism of a 14, 15-year-old kid.
Well, television showed it clearly.
Yes. And it was so difficult to wrap your mind around what that was and what that meant and what that was. Because, I mean, you remember the lead up. Preparing. National Guard was disposed to L.A., getting ready for, if it was guilty, what was going to happen once again in Los Angeles and countrywide, that it was going to create something completely different. And that is an angle to it that was something, unfortunately, we can still definitely understand.
And we've seen it. True. I mean, I go back to that was really my first, The first time I ever saw it, 1973 for OJ. Thank you. I really realized that there that this was a thing. Being watching, you know, half the people that were there for the verdict to be read, just jumping up and down for joy that he got off, and the other people were like, what? How could this be? And whew, I mean, it was the glove.
Yes,
it was the freaking glove.
Didn't fit.
It was the glove they found outside Cato Kalin's cottage, or what I think that's what they call it, out back of where OJ lived.
It was like a pool house, right?
A pool house, yeah. And OJ had flown overnight, took the red eye to Chicago, where he was going to, I don't know what he had, what he was doing in Chicago, but had to come back, obviously. And then the week goes on, and OJ's a suspect, and they didn't handcuff him as well.
You're right, absolutely. I mean, yes.
When are you going to find somebody who is, you know, the main suspect in a murder, and you're about to arrest him, and you're not going to put him in handcuffs just because of who he is? Please.
As I'm kind of combing through and jogging the memory on a few things, do you know anything about OJ's dad?
No, nothing.
So I remember they did that 30 for 30 on OJ about his football career.
Mm-hmm.
And starting up at junior college, going to USC, and kind of all the angles of that. And it was something to...
You couldn't tackle him.
Yeah. I mean, the physical size mm-hmm. that he had and the power.
Speed.
All those things that he had. His father was a well-known drag queen in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Is that a fact?
Later in life, his father, Jimmy Simpson, announced he was gay and died of AIDS in 1986.
Is that right? Didn't know that.
Of all the things that you were just inundated, and especially at that time.
Yeah.
How did that...
Maybe I don't remember that part of it.
Right. That's a wild one.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
one that you thought you knew everything,
mm-hmm.
and certainly don't remember that part of it. And there's just so many different angles to this. In one of the most famous people in our lifetimes, everybody
sure.
knows it, OJ Simpson.
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt.
I mean, we had Sean in the studio right before we went on the air. Mm-hmm. Sean's younger than even I am, and he even has vague memories of the chase and the trial and those kind of things. And this is something that permeated life. And this is not how I anticipated we were going to start off the show today.
Yeah, of course not.
With O.J. Simpson. But
I thought I was going to have fun with at the expense of Iowa State right. and BBC and congratulating Pollard for doing the right thing. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Yeah, what a time of our lives when the verdict was read, the whole trial, the witnesses that were put on the stand. And, man, there was never a time. And, again, I watched, and I'm not, this is an exaggeration. I watched every day of this trial. Just, you couldn't get enough of it. And was in a spot that I was able to watch it all. And, you know, when the race season rolled around, I'm not working during the day, so I'm at home watching this trial. We got off the air. Unbelievable. John and then Jim, and then we'll get to a break. We're going to talk Iowa State with Bill Seals coming up here. John, well, you're first. John, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thanks, guys. As you know, I'm from San Francisco, so this is some local knowledge. Not quite as exciting as the local knowledge Trent just dropped on you, but I think it's pretty good. I hope that OJ's brain is going to be studied for CTE. I think he may have the biggest case of it ever. When you look at the behavior changes, and when he went to USC from City College of San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
they did not have a helmet large enough for him.
Wow. Really?
The equipment guys at City College had to ship the helmet that he used there down to USC, and they painted it red, and that was his helmet. And you think about all the years he played on that turf at Orchard Park
mm-hmm.
In Buffalo, and all the and he you know carried the ball 350 times mm-hmm. a game.
Yeah,
and I'm just certain that that he's going to have one of the most advanced and prolific cases of CTE they've ever discovered.
We shall see, John. That's a great point. I do hope that they do test him for that. Yeah, but think of look at the helmet that he wore, a single bar face mask, right?
Mm, yes,
I mean,
exactly.
Good God. Yeah. That's a wild. Everybody did back in the day. Jim is next. Jim, welcome. How are you? What do you remember?
Good. You guys got my memory jogged, but just thinking of Los Angeles at the time, don't forget, like, I think it was 3 years before is when Magic announced the AIDS.
Yeah. 1992, I want to say, right?
I think 91.
Well, 91, October 9th. Yes, it was either October, November of 91. You're right. Yep.
And then 92, you got the NBA All-Star MVP. So that 3 or 4 year period in Los Angeles was pretty, volcanic almost.
Yeah.
But I don't think OJ ever carried it 350 times in a game, maybe in a season.
Yeah, true. Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. Yep, take care. Yeah, he's right. I think it was November of 1991.
November 7th.
Yeah.
1991. Remember that one vividly
as
well.
I remember where I was and I saw the news. I was like, what?
I was...
Because we're scared to death of that, Disney. Nobody knew what this was.
I was 11.
Right.
But even I was not sexually active.
Sure.
But it scared everybody.
Yes.
And it scared...
How do you get it?
Right, absolutely. And then Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm. And when did the movie Philadelphia come out? Do you remember the movie Philadelphia?
Oh, a couple years later.
Was it later than that?
Mid-90s, I want to say. Something like that, that came out.
Boy, that was a phenomenal flick.
Yes. Tom Hanks.
Ugh.
1993. 93 that one came out. Sitting in my bedroom with my buddy Adam Markham. We're shooting hoops on the Nerf hoop, and news comes on, just TV was on. And
oh, my God.
Magic Johnson. Like, again, the last
Magic
thing.
Johnson? Yeah, of all things, right?
And we're sitting on the playground, sitting in between classes. When's he going to die?
Yeah.
Is he going to die in a couple months?
Right.
Then he comes back, and he plays. Trouble wasn't happy about that.
No, it's true. I forgot about that part of it. Yes,
yeah, the 90s were a wild time, weren't they?
Apparently so, man.
We had some stuff going on.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, I guess we got to put that aside. So full stop.
Yes, right.
3, 2, 1. Scott Drew, not taking Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky. A guy that's been living in Waco turned down Kentucky and Lexington.
Well, he's won a national championship.
He has.
The pressure is completely different there.
There's none.
He has of a statue.
Yep.
He is.
Yep.
He delivered a national championship to Baylor.
I know.
A program that had murderers.
Yeah. Right. No, literally did.
Yeah. This was not. Yeah. This is not
teammates.
Yes.
Players.
Look up the story.
Uh-huh.
And then the coach would try to cover it up.
Yep. What's his name? Bliss? Dean?
Dave Bliss.
Yeah.
Successful basketball coach. I'm a good guy.
Right. Then there's that part of it.
There's plenty of those in basketball as well. And now, where do they turn?
It has to be Billy Donovan. But because they're going to get beat on Wednesday.
But I continue to hear from
him. I don't think he wants to go back.
He doesn't.
Why would you?
No, absolutely not. He is not alone. Look at who's retired lately. Think of the coach from Roy Williams to Coach K to Jay Wright. Mm-hmm. Coaches don't want to deal with this environment that's been created
it's
in college athletics.
It's bad enough that you had to recruit. And it's bad enough that your phone would ring when somebody got in trouble. Now you add NIL on top of it. Did you see what Kansas spent? $4 million last year on NIL. No one spent more money on NIL, on basketball, than Kansas. Basketball.
Didn't get a great return on that investment.
They didn't. But if they're willing to spend that, so this year they got to up that number a little bit because $4 million wasn't enough.
Right.
If you're buying futures, maybe you buy a Kansas ticket just on the premise that maybe they will spend what it takes to get back to where they believe they belong.
And if they would have got Cam Spencer,
would have been different, right? They got Timberlake instead, and he didn't play.
McCullough needed to be healthy.
Sure.
That was the ultimate downfall.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Of the season. But you know, Bill Self talked about it, too. He was talking with weeks to go that he's
already looking forward. Wish I would have known that. Would have pressed cash out. Because he checked
out.
Right.
He's done with that one.
Oh, my God.
But if it's not Billy Donovan, I mean, of acting college coaches, it makes sense. You get further and further down the list.
Pope.
That one would make sense, wouldn't it?
I guess.
Been really successful at BYU.
BYU, yeah.
He's played there.
Yeah.
He knows where everything, I mean, that one would make sense. How far down the list, though, until we get back to the Utz conversation?
Well, he's on every, I mean, he's in every article.
Yes. Two Sweet 16 in 3 years.
Yep.
Coming up. It's
coming off of 2-22.
Right. It's got to be your Kentucky, though. And you look around. But they go back after Pitino. If they keep going further and further down the list, and they keep coming up empty.
What would be the downside?
He's old, but who cares?
He's
he
old.
Coaches.
That's the downside.
He's a
old.
Great coach.
I truly agree with you. Look what he did to his team when he threw them under the bus and the response that they had toward the end of the season. Pitino has said over and over and over that it's his one regret is leaving Kentucky.
Yeah. They get further down that list.
Right? A chance to write a different chapter or write a different ending. At a place you loved and should have never have left?
I know there was a lot of hurt feelings when he went to Louisville.
Yeah.
And you can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
However, you'd rather take that or a Mark Pope. I know where I'd go.
I think it's Patino. I agree with you. Anyways, we'll talk Iowa State with Bill Seals coming up. Look forward to doing that. Catch up with Bill basketball-wise, football-wise with Bill Seals. We will be talking a whole lot of NFL in hour number two. Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, 12:15. Dave Sinica, zonecoverage.com on the Packers. And then Nick Athan on the tumultuous offseason. The end of the dynasty in Kansas City. You going there?
No. What's wrong with you?
It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller till 1. Murph and Andy from 1 until 3. The Drive with Heather and Sean today from 3 until 6. Let's talk some Iowa State, shall we? Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com, part of the Rivals Network. Bill joins us. Bill, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Bill Seals, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, happy birthday, by the way, Trent.
Thank you.
Oh, you're not getting started. Yeah, I knew that. Sorry. Happy birthday, Trent.
Thank you. Thank you. 44,
HBD.
44 times around this earth.
You know who else's birthday is today?
My aunt.
Somebody's going to be on the show. Nick Athan's birthday
really?
Is today. You share the same birthday?
My cousin Chuck, also his birthday. Happy birthday to Chuck.
Is Chuck available at 10 to noon? We have an opening.
We do. I don't know if we need Chuck in here.
Probably not. We got Bill Seals, and let's get to Iowa State conversation. Bill, we appreciate you coming on. So yesterday you talked receivers and DB coaches, correct? Am I missing anybody?
And Poteet, who primarily focuses on the cornerbacks. So, yeah, it was a good group yesterday.
Well, let's start with the receivers. The new kid from Army, I know a lot of people are excited to see him this fall. Jalen Noel, this is it, right? This is the final year for him. Some talent at that position. A quarterback who's in his second year. Your thoughts on what you heard yesterday?
Well, yeah, certainly Isaiah Alston, one of them that was touched on by Coach Pauly just a little bit. Sounds like he had to come back from a little bit of an injury earlier in the spring, but sounds like he's rounding into form. They like what they see there, and it's going to be a deep receiving core.
And he's tall, right, Bill? He's 6'4", 6'5", right?
6'4", 6'5", you're correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put up some big numbers, Army. You know, in an offense that typically doesn't throw the ball a whole lot, but he made the most of his opportunities, and you know, it's landed him here at Iowa State. So it's a deep group, though, with him new to the mix, Jaden Higgins as well. You mentioned Jalen Noel. Daniel Jackson is one.
Yep.
Sounds like having a good spring as well. I think with him, it's always been a case of trying to keep him healthy, and he was for the most part last season. So they like, four guys right there I just mentioned, Benny Ngoye from Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, and he caught a long pass in the Liberty Bowl, and sounds like a lot of momentum with him coming to the offseason. You mentioned redshirt freshman quarterback, so it's a good group there so far.
Hey, what are you hearing about, speaking of wide receivers, Kai Black, the kid from Urbandale, just a big-time athlete, but a big frame. I mean, is there a potential if he gets bigger? Now, we know Iowa State loves big wide receivers, but is there any path for him maybe to put his hand on the ground and end up a tight end?
Well, you know, I always thought that, Trent. You know, even doing play-by-play for Urbandale football, I thought he was a tight end at first, but it sounds like he's wide receiver there. That's going to remain to be the focus up there for him. But again, it's such a crowded group, and I almost wonder with they do have three seniors this year with Higgins, Jackson, and Jalen Noel, and I'm wondering maybe if it's still another year away for Kai Black, but certainly huge opportunity this spring for him to kind of put himself in position, maybe to be in the running to take over for one of those three seniors the following year. But you never know. I mean, injuries could play into the factor there as well. Maybe it's earlier than that. But I think I talked to Coach Pauly about Kai a little bit yesterday, and it sounds like he's having a nice spring. But again, it's just such a crowded group of upperclassmen there right now.
We'll get to the cornerbacks in just a second. I want to ask you about J.J. Cole. What have you heard about how his spring has gone? We know Rocco's going to be the guy, but J.J. Cole is certainly heralded once he got to Iowa State. Him and Beck had a fall camp battle, apparently, that went to Beck, as we found out, and he kept that job all season long. J.J. Cole's spring, what have you heard, Bill Seals?
Well, I think that he continues to come along, and you saw that the times that he played last season, everybody out there could see kind of the things that he needed to keep working on in his game. I think that he's continued to do that, and he's just, again, he's one play away with Rocco. Certainly, Rocco's the established guy there, but one play away, and J.J. Could be the man. So I think this is also his second spring as well. He came in January of 23, so certainly taking advantage of another full off season of strength and conditioning, and I think JJ is going to be a lot better than maybe what you saw when he was out there as a true freshman last fall.
Speaking of true freshmen, let's stay with skill positions here as we're making our way through the offense. And Abu Sama, his emergence last season, the K-State game, will live in infamy for a long time. We know they really like Carson Hansen and what they have, another a true sophomore going into the year. What about Jalen Jackson coming in from Eastern Michigan? He's a tiny guy. He's 5'6". Yeah. Remember watching him? I bet on a lot of Eastern Michigan. That's the reason that I remember seeing that little guy out there. But kind of what their game plan is with a guy that at that kind of stature, you know, kind of a Swiss Army knife, what their plan is for Jackson.
Well, I tell you one thing, Trent, that really caught me is our first media availability of the spring with Matt Campbell. And he said that They haven't had a guy as fast as Jalen Jackson since Kene Wongwu.
Wow. Okay.
I thought that they'd had a few guys that really could fly, but fly like that. I mean, that really struck me. And he's a guy I think that's going to be an impact player on special teams and doing returns that way. You know, and so many times we've heard of they have Karan Adams in the program for a little bit, kind of that running back, turn wide receiver, play a little bit in the slot. I wonder maybe if that could be a bit of a role on offense for Jalen Jackson as well. But I think that Jalen's going to make, first and foremost, probably make his impression on special teams. And, of course, that frees up Jalen Noel as well, too. He's a senior now, a leader of those wide receivers. And maybe if Jackson can come in and handle a lot of that, then maybe we see an even better Jalen Noel specializing just on playing wide receiver as a senior.
Talking Iowa State with Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com, part of the Rivals Network. All right, let's switch to the defense and the secondary, particularly the corners. We know TJ Tampa looks as though he's probably going to be a second rounder, but you never know. He just needs one team at the back end of that first round to want a 6'2 cornerback, and maybe it is Tampa. But if it's not, I'm guessing he won't have to wait very long on Friday night before he hears his name called. So we know he's gone. Purchase is coming back. He's probably, would you say he's the leader of that group, Miles Purchase, now?
Well, you know, Darian Porter is, certainly hasn't put up the numbers at corner specifically that Purchase has, but I think Porter, he's the super senior this year. He's what they call those seniors using their COVID years.
Yep.
So Porter, the leader as well. He's kind of probably the number three guy there right now. But between Purchase and Porter, that's a really veteran unit right there. Kind of the wild card, I think, is coming back and probably going to be the replacement for TJ Tampa's Jontez Williams, just a sophomore there. And I think big things ahead for him. And another one of those Iowa State cornerbacks that played wide receiver in high school, too. Talked to him a little bit about that and his transition from it early in his career. So, but I think big things ahead for Jontez Williams as well. And those are three established corners with a lot of playing time right there. And then beyond them, this is a group of freshmen, really, and it's going to be a group of freshmen once June hits and a couple more guys trickle in that didn't enroll in January. But I think one guy that came in January that has established himself probably as the number four right now is Quentin Taylor. He was one that could play cornerback, could play safety coming out of high school. And I tell you what, I think he probably should have been maybe even in consideration as a four-star. I'm that high on him by Rivals coming out. He's just a versatile guy, and it sounds like they're going to plug him in at corner. And you look at my my scholarship pipeline on the front page of the site right now, guys, and they're Iowa State's loaded at safety right now, and I think that corner with those two seniors right now, that's probably the fastest way to getting on the field for Quentin Taylor, and I think his upside is tremendous on that side of the ball.
Speaking of the defensive backfield, Malik Verdon, we know when he's out there how impactful he is. That's the kind of part about it, keeping him out there. Just 9 games a season ago, when you look at Verdon and keeping him healthy, how much work he's doing, and what can you do for a guy that's so physical, so tough, but has had so many injuries?
Yeah, that's certainly kind of his playing style, isn't it? Not afraid to put his head in there. And I think even with that, that wrist injury that he had, he was still trying to get out there and practice and play and kind of put himself in position to play in the Liberty Bowl. Even I think they eventually just decided to keep him out of that one just with the depth there. But certainly having Malik back there this spring, Jeremiah Cooper, Bo Freeler, I don't think that there's any team in this new configuration of the Big 12. I'm not sure there's a better trio of safeties. Now, granted, a lot of teams don't play the three high safety look, but I'll tell you what, Iowa State, that collection of three, I think, as good as any in the Big 12. So keeping those guys on the field is going to be key. But even behind them, again, they're just loaded at that position. Jamison Patton played a lot as a true freshman, a local guy. Drew Sergis, how about him in that wrap-up and the play? He started the bowl game.
And didn't they put him on scholarship right after the K-State game, Bill? Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of them. So he's another one of those scholarship safeties. So Iowa State even goes a strong two deep behind those top three with Patton and Sergis, and then you could throw in Trey Howard, Tayshawn James, Cam Smith. That's three more right there. They're just so deep at that safety position, and then they'll need them when they play three of them at the same time.
Oh, boy, can't get here fast enough. Let's switch to basketball, if you would, Bill Seals. We know Javon Hadley is in all likelihood not going to be a Cyclone. That story came out a couple of days ago, Curtis Jones' cousin. Not sure whether the playing time was there or if it was money or whatever it was. He's not going to be a Cyclone, at least at this point. That's the belief. What are you hearing as far as TJ's program? I'm not expecting any more goings, but what about comings? Who's TJ and the staff zeroing in on?
Yeah, I mean, I think Hadley, it would have been a nice luxury maybe for them to have. It didn't work out. But position-wise, where he plays, I don't think it's going to be a killer to the program, certainly going into next season. And that probably the two guys right now at the focal point of their efforts, William Kyle, we've talked about him a little bit. Last week, the South Dakota State power forward transfer, he's going to take an official visit to Iowa State, sounds like next weekend. Nebraska, I'll tell you what, I think Nebraska is going to be a player all the way down to the end for him, and he's an Omaha kid originally. Kansas State, Wake Forest also in the running there with William Kyle. You know, I was impressed with what I saw in that game against Iowa State in the NCAA tournament. You could tell that, maybe he wasn't going to be long for SDSU. It's turned out that way. Joshua Jefferson, St. Mary's, another one of those posts that they're looking at. He's a little bit newer on the staff's radar. Again, next weekend for him, he's going to be at Iowa State on an official visit. Virginia, VCU, a couple of the other ones in on him early on. So it's looking like this is probably going to play out another week or two as far as how they want to go about filling these last couple of scholarships for next season's team.
What do you think the plan is in the backcourt? And knowing that, yes, there still could be more talented added, but Curtis Jones, do you still see him as a sixth man? Is he coming off the bench again next season? Or does he get inserted into the starting lineup?
Well, I almost think that I wonder if Milan Momcilovic is going to end up playing a little bit more at the four next, and then he's going to have an entire off season in that strength and conditioning program. The first and foremost with him, in addition to maybe some of the skill things in his game, it's going to be to get a little bit bigger and stronger so that at 6'8", he can play a little more of that four. And Iowa State can roll with Lipsy, Gilbert, Curtis Jones, and then Milan, and then one of those fives, and maybe Deshaun Jackson, and a couple of those posts we've talked about here. Also, you've got to find a role probably for a couple of those other guys, you know, coming back into the program that we saw some good things for this season. So I could honestly see Iowa State probably rolling with a 10-man rotation next season. Jeez. They're going to be that deep, even with what they've got coming back. They've also Noya Sindrisaitis coming in. you got to, with his shooting touch, I think if he is physically ready to go and can learn the defense, he's another one, maybe a role like Milan, even that aggressive assignment for a true freshman, but I think he's certainly got the skill to do it. In Demarion Watson, he's another one, 15 to 20 minutes a game. You'd like to probably find him. So just so many options, and this team can play, they can play small, and even with losing those three posts, I think it's still a team that can match up with some of the bigger teams and still not miss a beat.
Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com. Bill, good stuff. Appreciate your reporting on this, and we will catch up with you next week. What media availabilities next week? Monday and Wednesday? Just Monday? Do you know yet?
Well, I think it's just going to be Monday with Matt Campbell as they kind of look ahead to the spring game. It's going to be, that'll be a week from Saturday. So we'll have him and a couple of players on Monday up there. It was a busy week up there. This week we had Monday and Wednesday, so got a lot knocked out with that. And as we count down, it seems like spring ball is going to be over before you know it. With balancing basketball and the start of spring ball, it kind of seems like spring ball is going to be over before you know it, just with how busy it's been. But lots of good stuff up on the site, though, and especially on our message boards.
Good stuff, Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com, CycloneReport.com, part of the Rivals Network. Bill, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Bill Seals.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Bill Seals, as we check in on Iowa State. All right, time out. Come back, finish up the hour. A lot of NFL talk, the NFL draft talk, NFL offseason talk. We'll do the other three regional teams before we get out of here at 1. Yesterday, Trent, forgot to talk about, after Cappy, we were running short on time, Centurion Stone of Iowa, who sponsors our buddy David Kaplan. Want to make sure we talk a little bit about them. Their address, 5525 Northeast 22nd Street. In Des Moines, they offer manufactured stone, natural stone. If you're outdoors, look, the forecast this weekend in the 80s is going to be absolute beautiful. Want to do something around the grill or, you know, an enhancement on the backyard? Centurion Stone of Iowa, exterior project, inside project, CenturionStoneOfIowa.com. The showroom, 5525 Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines. And they do have Saturday morning hours. If you can't get there during the day, you want to check it out Saturday from 8 until noon. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller Condon. Welcome back. Final couple of minutes, hour number one. Masters is underway. DeChambeau got off to a terrific start. So did Danny Willett. Do you have any Eric Von Ruyen?
I did not. He did not make the card this week.
Have you heard of Eric Von Ruyen?
I have. I've heard of all the guys.
But those three, there's a bunch of them tied now at three under par. So, Tiger, so let me ask you this from a Tiger Woods perspective. He's probably not going to finish today.
Right.
What does that do to his chances of making the cut when tomorrow he has to come back and, I don't know, play 27 holes, let's say? He'll probably get through the front nine for sure.
Yeah, get to the main corner.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be a significantly more than the 18, but does it hurt his chances to make the cut?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it because we've heard how long it takes him just to get ready and the physicality coupled with the rain.
Well, the rain's going away. The rain's
right,
out of here.
Right now, it's more difficult.
Right.
And how much more taxing it's going to be right. in those wet conditions.
Because he loves warm, dry.
Yes.
For his body.
And it's just the physicality of it. Yeah, I think it becomes even more concerning on that front. But prove me wrong. Get to the weekend.
Prove me wrong.
He is.
That's
so,
for sure.
He's just. He's worth the price of admission.
He is, yep.
And flipped it on this morning. Of course, getting to see the starters go out there and whack those first shots.
So Watson, Player, and Nicklaus, right?
Yes. And then I was listening because there was nothing on the app broadcast-wise, but they did have the radio coverage. So
they did.
Listen for that for a little
channel?
While this morning.
Is it 92, 97?
No, it was just on the app.
On the app,
yeah,
okay.
On my phone. I was just listening to Masters Radio.
Oh, I love that music. That's hour great. Number two, we will at some point, probably about 10 after, 12 after, PA's just wrapping up his show in the Twin Cities, Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings. He'll join us coming up here in about, 15 minutes or thereabouts. And then we'll check a look at the Packers, likewise with the Chiefs, 2 weeks out from the draft, Trent's plays of the day as well. That's the second hour, and that's on deck. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3. KXNO.